Okay, I think we'll get going. Welcome everyone to San Francisco City Hall. I'm Supervisor Scott Wiener, and I'm joined today with my colleague, Supervisor Christina Olagi. We are here today with some excellent news. You may recall a few months ago, we stood on the steps of City Hall when it was a sunnier day. And we announced the kickoff of the signature drive to qualify a ballot measure to repeal the death penalty in California. The campaign has gone very well, and we're going to talk about that today in our campaign to really be rational in our approach to public safety in California, once and for all end the death penalty in this state. So without further ado, I want to turn it over to our MC, Judge Lazarus Cordell, who's just an incredibly respected person in the law enforcement community and the legal profession. So, Judge Cordell.
Good morning. And thank you, Supervisor Wiener, for being an early supporter of the Safe California Initiative. You, sir, understand what is at stake, and your leadership has been critical to this effort. We make history today. This is the first time ever that the voters of California will have the chance to replace the death penalty with a sentence of life without the possibility of parole. The Safe California Act is a remarkable and historic achievement. To qualify for the ballot, we were required to collect 504,760 valid signatures of registered voters. We collected those signatures and then some. Today, in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Diego, we present to the registrars of voters the signatures of hundreds of thousands of California voters who signed our petitions because they want to end death sentencing in this state. After nearly 19 years of presiding as a state court judge in California, it is my belief that justice in our criminal justice system is in grave peril. California's broken and battered death penalty system is causing us to veer dangerously off the path of justice. Passage of the Safe California Act in November will get us back on track. Yes, there have been past efforts to mend our death penalty system, but this time it is different. It is different because the $184 million a year that is spent on the 720 death row inmates each year to keep them safe and sound is $184 million a year that is not being spent to keep all of us law-abiding Californians safe and sound. We Californians are facing a serious public safety gap. 46% of murders, 56% of rapes in California are unsolved. This means that hundreds of murderers and rapists are on our streets because the money to pay for investigations to apprehend these criminals is not there. It's in death row. Once we pass the Safe California Act and shut down that waste, we can fund those cold case investigations. This time it is different because it is about our safety. The families of murder victims deserve swift justice and finality. They don't get that with the death penalty. Death penalty cases in California take an average of 25 years from conviction to execution. That's if there is an execution. A quarter of a century is not justice for these families. It is agony, it is insulting, and it is unacceptable. This time, It is different because Californians know that the Safe California Act means that murder victims' families deserve better. Six statewide ballot propositions have already been certified for the 2012 ballot in California. Dozens more are in circulation and may still qualify for the November 6, 2012 ballot. 2012 will be yet another high-stakes, high-drama ballot proposition year. Of all of the ballot measures that are in the pipeline, the Safe California Act is the only one that is literally a matter of life and death. Nothing is more important than that. We have three remarkable individuals who will briefly speak to you this morning, and they will tell you their distinct and poignant reasons for supporting the Safe California Act. After they speak, we will open this press conference to questions from members of the press. I will briefly wrap up, and then we hope you will follow us with your cameras as we walk these petitions downstairs to the registrar's office to file them to put California Safe California Act on the ballot. Our first speaker is Gene Wolford, the former warden of San Quentin Prison.
Good morning. My name is Jeannie Woodford, and I served as warden of San Quentin State Prison for several years. With more than 30 years of experience in corrections and law enforcement, I truly know California's death penalty system inside and out. I know its huge financial cost and just how harmful it is to in a personal and harmful to public safety. That is why I'm so pleased to be here today. I'm very glad to be the very first to tell you that the Safe California Act will definitely be on the November 2012 ballot. Please. I tell you that with full confidence because today, Safe California is submitting 800,000 voter signatures to qualify for the general election next November. As Judge Cordell mentioned, we went very far above the 500,000 valid signatures that we needed to collect to qualify. And the signatures continue to pour in. Thanks to more than 5,000 volunteers and signature gatherers around the state, California voters will have the first ever chance to replace the death penalty with a sentence of life without possibility of parole. There is no question that voters across the state are ready. This truly is a historical accomplishment. Next November, at the polls, Californians will have the first ever chance to replace the death penalty and put an end to its intolerable risk and exorbitant cost. We will have the first ever chance to choose effective crime prevention over a symbolic gesture. We will be able to shift to strategies that work so that we can put more rapists and murderers behind bars forever, but without the risk of executing an innocent person. I think about that risk often because it is only too real. When I was the warden, I oversaw four executions. I know the full weight of the burden that will be carried by the men and women working in that prison. I know all about the doubt that comes with imperfect human courts, judges, and juries. The nagging question, did I execute an innocent man? Or the other crucial question, did this execution make the world safer? I always felt the answer was no. No public employee should ever carry that burden, because I can tell you that our system is flawed, it is broken, and we risk making that fatal mistake right here in the state of California. I'm not the only person in law enforcement that thinks this way. over 100 current and former law enforcement officials, prosecutors, judges, and correctional officers have publicly signed a statement opposing the death penalty. Each one of them supports an effective alternative: life in prison without the possibility of parole. The Safe California Act also ensures that death row inmates will work. Right now, only 1% of death row inmates work in prison. The Safe California Act would hold inmates accountable and mandate that they pay restitution into a victim's compensation fund. Many people don't know that the death penalty costs us more than life in prison without parole. Many just don't know about the extra $100,000 a year in housing costs for inmates on death row, or the $1 billion in 5 years that will be spent on the death penalty at a time when we are cutting funding for schools and teachers and public safety programs. Meanwhile, a shocking 46% of murders and 56% of reported rapes go unsolved in the state of California each year. This is wrong. It is wrong for victims, for their families, and for public safety. I believe the best way to protect our children, our neighborhoods, our communities, is to utilize the money we have been spending on a broken system to solve crimes, to keep police on the streets, and to find the guilty and bring them to justice. That's what Safe California is about. It is simple. It removes capital punishment as the harshest penalty and leaves life without parole. It requires all individuals serving life without the possibility of parole to work while they're incarcerated and to pay restitution to the victim's compensation fund. And it allows $100 million to be set aside over 3 years to solve unsolved homicides and unsolved rapes in the state of California and bring closure to those victims. This is an approach that will prevent crime. This will keep our families safe. And today, we have over 800,000 names that proves that voters are ready to take a long, hard look at the death penalty. California is ready to support Safe California Act. It is time for us to be safe and to replace the death penalty. Safe California has arrived. It's a proposition whose time has come. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I now ask that Obi Anthony come forward and give you his remarks.
My name is Obi Anthony. At the age of 19, I was tried and convicted of a murder in which I did not commit. I was faced with the death penalty and could have been on death row. But thanks to volunteer attorneys in the Northern California Innocent Project, my name was cleared this last October. For the first time, I had a chance this last December to spend Christmas with my family. When I got the chance again to spend time with my family and my fiance Denise, the first thing that I wanted to do was get my California identification so that I was able to get myself back into the swing of things. I really enjoyed the night air. For years, my days ended at 4 o'clock. I appreciate the opportunity to get out and to go out and do those things that I want. But the real pleasure in my life is the pleasure of responsibility. Responsibility was the thing that I longed for in prison. Work and the opportunity to work and to support those who love me. I am very glad to be able to look out for my fiance and for the rest of the household. So when Safe California said that they need people to go out to talk about the death penalty, I jumped at the opportunity. It was a beautiful thing to be able to help voters to see that they can bring savings, accountability, in a full enforcement to the law. Because I'm living proof that terrible mistakes can happen and that there is no perfect system. I am glad I can have conversations with my neighbors about Save California so they can see me when they think about giving the government the power to execute a person. So they can think of me, so they can think about me, excuse me, so they can think about what happens when the government gets it wrong. I am happy to say I had hundreds of conversations. I am part of a field team that gathered 800,000 signatures. Every day I was out on the streets telling my story and asking voters to support Save California. I am very proud to be here today. I am very proud to be part to protect the innocent and to save California $1 billion. I can't get those 17 years back, but I can make a difference and I can make a change. And come November, California voters can make a change as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Obi. Our third and final speaker is Del Medina.
As someone who's lost someone to murder, the election cycle in California is usually causes a lot of pain. The death penalty is usually trotted out like a show pony every election cycle. Thank you. It's usually trotted out as a show pony every election cycle. The rhetoric is incredibly painful for those of us who've lost someone to murder and whose voices are usually shut out of the debate because we oppose the death penalty. There's usually no room for us. But it's true, this time it's different. This time, crime victims, family members have a voice thanks to Save California. In my case, my aunt, my tia, his killer was her own son, my cousin. He was in the midst of a psychotic break. We never got a sympathetic call from the police. Instead, we got a horrible blow from the district attorney because he wanted the death penalty. We heard of my aunt's murder actually watching national evening news, and my family members called each other right away, from here in San Francisco to Columbia to the East Coast and beyond. We didn't have the $100,000 it would take to pay for a private defense attorney, so we gave what we had, our time, our expertise, our energy. Some planned the funeral, other of us, you know, organized ourselves. I flew down to Miami to advocate for him. We pored over his school records and medical records, trying to reconstruct pasts, a past that we had no idea because my aunt had been hiding it. We met with his public defenders and realized how overworked they were, how little they knew about him or our family or the circumstances, and we decided that we had to take it upon ourselves to become their investigators. My family's story, unfortunately, is very common. I thought it was a fluke when it happened. I thought, how often does this happen? This is weird. But in this process, I've learned that there's actually a lot of families, not unlike mine. We realize now that California's overworked and understaffed justice system is simply not equipped to deal with these issues. Lots of families will face tough times like I did in similar circumstances, and will struggle to give to our loved ones all that we can. But some things we just can't do. Justice is one of those precious gifts that only strangers can offer. That's why I'm so glad to be here today, to thank you and the thousands of volunteers who made this possible, and to pledge to do all I can for next November to help others see that the death penalty is an empty promise to family victims. As for my cousin, when it became obvious and clear to the DA that he was extremely ill, they dropped the death penalty charges against him. And the judge ruled that my cousin was ill and he was not fit to stand trial. He will probably live the rest of his life in a mental health institution. And while it sounds strange, it was probably one of the best gifts we ever got. Thank you so much.
We now take your questions, if any you have, and I'll ask Ms. Woodard to stand here and take your questions. Go ahead.
Yes, it includes all the cost, including litigation and the housing of the death row inmates. Yes.
And I might add that for each person on death row, if you just took that person's 25-year odyssey, that it runs about $308 million per inmate. When you just talk about the legal costs, appeal, the person gets appointed representation. So these are huge numbers that would no longer be the case once this act passes. Other questions?
And we also should say that those numbers come from the Alarcon Mitchell report, and Judge Alarcon is not in opposition to the death penalty, but he wanted to understand the cost and had access to records that most of us do not, and concluded that's what the costs are.
Talk a little bit about text, please. I mean, the number is really meaningless unless you compare it to what it costs to incarcerate representation.
So let me repeat the question so everyone can hear it. You're asking if we could put that into comparison to other individuals serving sentences within a California prison for life without possibility of parole or just in general? Well, the difference is that when you're on death row, you have an attorney and a legal team for life. If you have a sentence of life without possibility of parole or any felony conviction, you're entitled to one appeal at taxpayer expense. And then you can continue to appeal, but it would be at your own expense unless you're able to convince a judge that there is overwhelming evidence of your innocence, which rarely happens. So the cost of litigation... Well, the costs are that according to the Justice Alarcon report, it costs $184 million more per year to have individuals on death row than if they had life without possibility of parole. I hope I'm answering your question. Okay. So we have Anna Zamora, who probably could answer your
question.
Well, for the incarceration piece, it's 100,000 more per year than if they were serving a sentence of life without possibility of parole. Okay. I'm sorry, I guess I didn't understand your question. Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about the campaign that is being waged this year, some of your goals for fundraising, and how you're going to kind of win support for this issue?
Okay. Well, to date, we have nearly 900 donors. And at this point, their contributions range from $5 to $500,000. And you can actually get our disclosures are online, and you can look up who has given at cal/access.ss.ca.gov. Because we filed our public reports about who is given to the campaign. We continue to fundraise from small donors to large donors, and now that we have qualified, we have many donors who have agreed to contribute to this campaign.
You can try to do statewide media?
Yes, we will have a statewide media campaign to inform the voters of the facts regarding the death penalty and allow them to make an appropriate decision in 2012.
Can we do some individual interviews, because the sound is really lousy in here?
Sorry, I just have one more if we could do it at the podium.
Okay, and thank you for the break. take the things downstairs.
Judge Cordell, could you explain, you were trying to tell me ahead of this thing, what, in a nutshell, what's going on here? You're turning out death row?
So if when the Safe California Act is passed, what the voters will say is that they do not want the death penalty to be a part of our criminal justice system. So if the death penalty is not a part of it, what this will do, we are not basically, I don't even like to use the word abolishing the death penalty. What this act does is it replaces the death penalty with life without the possibility of parole, so that those who are serving sentences, the 720, their sentences will be changed to life without the possibility of parole. And thereafter, there will be no judge or juries that will be imposing a death sentence, because the voters will have said the system was broken with the death penalty. We want a system, we want to fix the system for all of the reasons all of these individuals have stated. And so that's basically what will happen. It is the voters, and that's why this is so historic, who will now say, okay, enough. Enough with wasted dollars, enough with dragging these things out. And we drag them out because our legal system requires that those where we say your life is going to be taken have all of these legal rights which must be protected. I don't have a problem with that. The issue is that there aren't sufficient lawyers to handle all of these cases. That's why they're in the pipeline so long. And there are legal procedural due process requirements. So basically what we're saying in trying to address this is say, fix it on every number of levels. The economic issue is one of them, but there are many other issues as well. So yes, that will be replacing the death penalty by a vote of the people.
This could be for either of you. I know it could depend on the language that's used in the question, but polls through the years have shown the majority of Californians support the death penalty. What do you think here is going to make the swing?
Well, I think what does convince the voters in our polls show this are the facts, and the fact that we have spent $4 billion on the death penalty since 1978 in the state of California, and we've carried out 13 executions, which means over $300 million per each of the 13 executions. We also know that the best way to prevent crime is to solve it. So you have to make choices in fiscally difficult times. And so should we use our money on an ineffective, broken system, which the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court says about the death penalty, or should we use that money and put police on the street and solve unsolved crimes, which makes us all safer? We've not had an execution in California in over 6 years. And so what we virtually have is life without possibility of parole, but we're spending millions of dollars pretending that we have the death penalty. The voters understand that, and when those facts are before them, they too agree it's time to replace the death penalty with life without possibility of parole. I also will say that life without possibility of parole is a very harsh punishment. It holds individuals accountable.
This question's for Judge Cordell, if I may. What's the legal mechanism to convert these 720 death penalties into OWOP? I mean, is the proposition able to just do that?
Okay, so
juries weighed in.
This is going to be the last question, because at this point, what we're going to have happen is that I'll make one final comment, and then our volunteers are going to go take these petitions downstairs to file. I hope that you will follow them. And then those of us who have spoken will be here if you'd like to have further interviews or further questions or comments. So the mechanism is in the initiative. I don't know if you've read the act.
Apparently not.
Read the act and understand clearly what it is we're doing. It is very clear. It is unlike other legislation and other initiatives where you get a lot of mumbo jumbo and not sure what you're reading. It's very clear. And we absolutely, this is a very thoughtful initiative. This act has been looked at, and we've gotten input from law enforcement, from those who are on the defense side. Prosecutors have come together. That's what makes this so unusual. This is an highly unusual coalition of individuals who have come together for a variety of reasons to come to this resolution. So in wrapping up, please just bear in mind, one of this country's most heroic crusaders for civil rights, and who was killed because of his activism, was Martin Luther King Jr. And at one point he said this. He said, somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without that hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must help time. We must realize that the time is ripe to do right. This time, it is different. Californians will pass the Safe California Act because this time, because the time is ripe to do right. And now, we ask our volunteers if you will take an historic walk to the Registrar of Voters downstairs to deliver the people's petitions to place the State California Act on the November 6th.